Welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast, where we share all kinds of tips, advice, and interview guests on all things innovation and leadership in modern marketing. Each episode is a conversation with inspiring people who make wonderful contributions to our knowledge in these areas and spark curiosity and ideas to pursue. Join me, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and let's get into today's masterclass on this InnovaBuzz podcast.
You just have to be newsworthy. You have to put your newsroom hat on and say, is this a story people would want to watch on the news and why? Does this story only promote me and my business? And if it does, then it's not newsworthy. You have to tie it into something that is already happening, that people are talking about, and you just have a new way of talking about it, or you have to tie it into something that is very interesting to that media outlet's audience.
Hi there, innovator. It's really great to be back with another episode of the InnovaBuzz podcast. I hope you've had an awesome week so far. I trust also you enjoyed my conversations with Bryony Thomas of Watertight Marketing and with Anna Swee, the Leadership Evolution Coach. I'm really excited today to have on the InnovaBuzz podcast as my guest, Christina Nicholson of Media Maven. Media Maven is a full-service public relations agency. Christina and her team help their clients get greater visibility and enable them to connect with thousands of their ideal clients in moments instead of months. Christina has a background as a journalist, a TV news reporter, and an anchor. And based on her experience, she knows what the media want and what will get their attention. She's established relationships with journalism professionals across the USA and, in fact, globally, as she was telling me, and has used her experience and relationships to earn her clients publicity in a wide variety of media. A quick promotional message from our sponsor. That's me, actually, or more accurately, my business, InnovaBiz. We help coaches and consultants build professional credibility, engage their target audience, and connect with their ideal clients. The result is that their ideal clients virtually self-select and line up to work with them. To help you get clarity about who your ideal client is and how you can build a strong, enduring relationship with them, take a look at our Marketing Master mini class. It's just two modules and will take you less than 30 minutes to work through, and it'll give you clarity on your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging, enduring relationship. You can even use the exercise to define your ideal audience for a podcast, a speech, or a presentation you might be giving. Access the Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In our discussion today, Christina talked to me about how to get the media's attention with very short pitches and following up with them on Twitter. She told me what you need to do to turn publicity into profit, and also how it all starts with knowing your ideal client, serving your audience, and building relationships. Without further ado then, let's fly into the hive and get the buzz from Christina Nicholson. Hi, I'm your host, Jürgen Strauss from InnovaBiz, and I'm really excited to welcome to the InnovaBuzz podcast today, all the way from West Palm Beach in Florida, Christina Nicholson from Media Maven. Christina runs a full-service public relations agency specializing in owned and earned media. So we'll find out a little bit more about that today. Welcome to the podcast, Christina. It's a great privilege to have you as my guest.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here and chat with you.
Monica Louie, who was our guest on episode 202 of the InnovaBuzz podcast, suggested that we interview you. So big hello to Monica.
Oh, she is the best. She helps me with all of my Facebook ads. So that's awesome.
Great. Yeah. And we had fun chatting to her. Now, Christina, you've been a TV news reporter. You've been an anchor. You're also a podcaster, a prolific blogger. And today you use media, you use your media and PR skills to assist your clients with reaching their potential customers with their message in a fast and effective way. So I'm really looking forward to digging deeper into that with you in today's conversation. Now, before we start talking about all things marketing and media and PR, tell us a bit about your background. How did you get to where you are today, and what were some of the pivotal moments in that journey?
Well, you already mentioned I was a TV reporter and anchor. I did that for about 10 years. And in that industry, it is something that you do for a couple of years in a small market, and then you move up to a little bigger market, and then you're there for a couple of years, and then you move up to a bigger market, and then you're there for a couple of years. So that's just the way it goes in the TV news business. You're always working your way up. And my last market was the NBC station in South Florida in the Miami-Fort Lauderdale market. And while I was there, I had a couple of kids and I found that I needed a more flexible schedule. And TV news does not offer a flexible schedule at all. So I got out of it about 4 years ago now. And at about that time, the industry was changing a lot. I remember when I started 14 years ago, we would have a photographer. And the photographer would edit our stories. And when I left, it was, oh, well, you need to be your own photographer and you need to do your own editing. And it wasn't just small market stuff. Even in the big markets, they were making you do it all. And I enjoyed doing it all, but it just goes to show you the industry was changing. I needed a flexible schedule. So that's how I made the transition to PR. I worked at a PR agency for 6 months before starting my own business. And this is why it was a perfect transition, because for 10 years, I was on the other side of the media. I was getting pitched by business owners and by PR agencies and publicists who wanted that TV coverage. They wanted that free commercial on TV. And unfortunately, a lot of those pitches were very bad. People would send emails and we would be scratching our heads like, well, what is the story here? What are they trying to do? Like, what? Why do our viewers even care about this? So moving to PR and pitching the media was a pretty easy move because I already knew what the media wanted, what they needed, how to hand it all to them on a silver platter. And that's what my team and I do now for business owners all across the world.
Mm. I love that. I think there's a lesson in that in terms of marketing in general, because coming from the TV and press and news background, you know what you wish people would send you when they pitch to you. So now you're on the other side and you can construct those pitches in that manner. So I think, you know, if you take that metaphor and say, well, you know, if you understand what your client wants from you and then deliver that, that really is the secret, isn't it?
Yeah. And it really is. I mean, I feel like the secret to PR that a lot of people don't want to believe and sometimes they ignore is that it's not the media's job to promote you. It's not the media's job to give you a free commercial. It's the media's job to educate and to entertain their audience. And if you can be a part of that, then great, you're going to get the coverage. If not, then you're not. Then it's going to go to somebody else. And I think the big mistake is a lot of these business owners and a lot of these brands and these entrepreneurs, they want this free commercial. And it's just not the media's job to give that to you. So I think when it comes to earning exposure in the media, you need to be looking at things from another perspective. Stop being so selfish and stop thinking about your own promotion, because if you get any kind of mention, if you get quoted in an online article, if you get one soundbite on TV, you will get that promotion. You can leverage that publicity. So you just kind of need to take a step back and stop being so selfish and only out for your own promotion in the media and think about what their job is. Help them do their job and you will benefit.
Mm. Yeah. It really is kind of the central principle of marketing, isn't it? Serve your audience and know what the audience wants, know, you know, what drives them, what motivates them, and then serve them. And the byproduct of that is publicity, yes.
Exactly. And I think today we also need to be reminding ourselves that things are taking longer. Like the marketing and sales process, it takes a little bit longer today than maybe it did 5 or 10 years ago, because we have so many channels with so much content. I mean, you have traditional media, and then now we have things like podcasts. Mm. We have social media. We have countless social media platforms that different people are on for different reasons, consistently scrolling all day, every day. So to get somebody to know, like, and trust you and then buy from you, it's going to take some time, and you do need to be patient.
Yeah, that's a really important point. I think, I keep harking back to think of the days before social media, before the internet even, and you did spend a lot of time building relationships with people when you wanted to do business with them, because people do business with people. And I think somewhere along the line, a lot of businesses have forgotten that in the world of automation and internet and social media, because it's so quick to get a message out to a large audience, and they forget that you still have to build a relationship, even though it might be in a different forum.
Exactly. And I feel like if we're going to use the dating analogy, because we have all of these new tools and this new technology, people think they can go straight from the first date to marriage. They miss the dating and the engagement in between, or they just want to skip through it because it's convenient for them. Hmm. And that's when I ask you to look at yourself, look at your own buying behavior, look at what catches your interest. You have to see the same thing, maybe in a few different places, in a few different ways, over a certain time period before you are actually going to move on that, or before you're going to even want to move on that. And I know it is impressive to say, oh, I did this, that, and this in just 6 months, or I hit this goal in under a year. But really, at the end of the day, these things take time. And now more than ever, they take more time just because we are being bombarded with so much content in so many places. So that's why it is important to stand out in front of the right people at the right time, multiple times for months or even years.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that last sentence, I think, is really captures the whole essence of marketing. So tell us, what exactly is PR, and what's the difference between advertising and PR, say?
Okay, so I look at media as there's three different tiers. One is your own media. So like this podcast right now, Jürgen, is your podcast. This is your media. You say, this is what goes on my podcast. You determine what goes on your website. You determine what goes on your social media. That's owned media. You own that stuff. You're the boss. Then there's paid media, which is advertising. It's hiring Monica Louie to do your Facebook ads, or it's, you know, paying for an ad in a local magazine or a local newspaper. And then there's earned media. And this is the best kind of media, in my opinion, for a few reasons. One, because it's free. It doesn't cost any money at all. And two, because it has an authority and a credibility factor to it that the other two do not. Mm. So I can give you an example. When you earn coverage in the media, so I'll give you an Australian example. I had a media mentoring client based in Australia, and she had a really cool product where she made these custom snow globes. She's called the Queen of Snow Globes. And we worked together on developing pitches for her to get media coverage. And a show called The Project, a very popular entertainment show down there, I am told, did a feature on her. And they talked about how, you know, she's bringing snow to Australia with her snow globes, and she works with a lot of celebrities. And it's just a really cool, unique business. So something that does, that owned and paid media does not do, is that's like a third party endorsement. It's the project saying, look at this woman and look at what she does. Look at her brand. Anybody could be on the project if they gave them money. But what do we do when we see an ad? Many times we kind of tune out because we just know people are paying to be there. You don't get the authority. You don't get the credibility because you're paying to be there. Yes, you can promote that on your own media, on your social media, on your podcast, on your website. But that, again, that's you promoting yourself. There's no authority or credibility. So when you earn the media through PR, through public relations, you get that instant know, like, and trust factor, because whatever the media outlet is that people are seeing you in or on or hearing you in, they already have the know, like, and trust factor. So when they bring you on, you're automatically known, liked, and trusted. You don't get that through owned media or paid media. You only get that through earned media.
Mm. Yeah, that's a great distinction and a great story to illustrate that. And for those listeners that are outside of Australia, the project is a very popular and well-respected kind of political satire and general informational chat show, I guess you'd categorize it as.
Yeah, I think in the United States, it would be compared to like an Entertainment Tonight that focuses on Hollywood stuff, or it would be just like a daytime talk show. It's a national show that gets a lot of attention. They tell cool stories and it's hard to get on, you know, like that's the downfall of earned media. I told you about why it's great, but the downside is just that it's super competitive. It's hard because everybody wants that. I mean, I don't think anybody in Australia would say no to the project if they came calling and wanted to talk about right. you and your business or your brand. You know, like I can tell you just from being in the news business, they are getting emails, hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands or tens of thousands a day, from people who were saying, tell my story, talk about my product, I have something newsworthy to share. And that's why PR is tricky. That's why it does take time. That's why you do need to be consistent with it. But again, it's also why it's worth the most and why it makes the biggest difference in your business and your brand when you do land it.
So what's the process for getting onto a show like The Project, or indeed just, you know, starting to get some PR? Because I imagine that you probably don't aim for something big like The Project first off.
Yeah, and a lot of people do, but I think the people who do, they don't really understand the industry. The woman who I was talking about, her name's Leah, she got a lot of coverage in a lot of different places before The Project. And that coverage will help you get that national coverage because, listen, if people aren't going to cover you locally, if they're not going to cover you in those niche outlets, then why would the national media care? But still, sometimes you can go straight to national. I recently got Amy Porterfield on CNN's Headline News over here in the United States, and it was her first time on TV. And I got that for her just because I had a really good, really timely pitch. I also, after I sent the email pitch, I tweeted the producer and I tweeted the anchor and I let them know, hey, I just emailed you a pitch about this. Because today, let me tell you, people are more inclined to pay attention to a mention on Twitter than they are another email in their inbox. So any way you can get to them, you got to try to get to them. But I would say as a starting off point, two things, because they kind of go hand in hand. One, you want to have a goal. Don't let your ego get in the way of, oh, I was here and I was there and look at me, I'm everywhere. Yes, that's nice and that will help you. You can leverage that publicity, you know, long term. But at the end of the day, you want to be in front of your ideal customer or client, you know? So whenever I ask anybody their goal, they always go to something like the Today Show or Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. And I'm thinking, You want it because it sounds cool. You don't want it because you can see it turning into profit down the road. And you want this publicity to turn into profit. So just keep that in mind when you're thinking of your goal. And then I touched on this earlier, is it's not the media's job to promote you. You need to send them something newsworthy. You need them to actually care about telling the story you're pitching, not because it promotes you, because they don't care about promoting you, but because it's something that their audience wants to hear or wants to see. It's very timely. You want to give them a reason to do the story right now, because if you don't give them a reason to do it now, they're going to put it on the shelf. if they are interested. And then once it gets on the shelf, it gets forgotten about because there's so much timely stuff happening. You have to be looking at the calendar. You have to be looking at news that's already breaking. I just recorded a YouTube video on something called newsjacking. And this is when something is happening in the news and it relates to your business or your brand. And you can find a different angle that's not being covered so you can get that coverage and that publicity. A great example is looking at the calendar and looking at things like tax day on April 15th here in the United States. If you're a CPA or you're an accountant, you want to jump all over that because everybody's talking about it the month before, the month after with extensions. So you just have to be newsworthy. You have to put your newsroom hat on and say, is this a story people would want to watch on the news and why? Does this story only promote me and my business? And if it does, then it's not newsworthy. You have to tie it into something that is already happening, that people are talking about, and you just have a new way of talking about it. Or you have to tie it into something that is very interesting to that media outlet's audience.
Yeah, well, there's a bunch of really important points in that. So I think, you know, it's got to be interesting for the audience. It's got to be timely and it's got to have a unique aspect to it. And the story has got to be interesting. I think, you know, one of the things that we work a lot on with our clients right at the beginning when we kind of embark on marketing or even for our podcasting clients is, you know, who's the audience? Let's get to know the audience really deeply and really well. And I think that's really key here. So talk to us a little bit more about how you approach this whole aspect of, you know, the reaching the right audience.
Yeah, well, and again, this is where I say, don't get all caught up in like the glitz and the glamour of the big outlets because the niche outlets, honestly, that's where you're going to see your profit faster than the more general ones. I can give you another example of a client that I had that was in the fitness industry. I got them on the Today Show, and then I also got them in a fitness magazine that was niched to their kind of fitness, which was running. So even though the Today Show is impressive and we have millions of people watching it, there's a lot of people who watch the Today Show who hate running and they don't want to run. So they're not going to convert. But in a more niched outlet like this magazine that was focused only on running, I think it's safe to say every single person reading that magazine or visiting that website was interested in running. They were more likely to convert. So I would say don't just focus on the big names. Yes, the big names can help you. You can leverage that. You can turn that around. Say, look, I'm at the Today Show. That gives you authority. It gives you credibility. It sets you apart from your competition. But that is the long-term game. And you should play that as well. Short-term, niche is going to be where it's at. And honestly, I like podcasts for turning publicity into profit. And this is why. Because people who listen to podcasts are more likely to invest in their business. Because instead of listening to music or watching a movie or whatever else they could be doing, they're listening to a podcast, especially a business podcast like this one, where people can get tips, tricks, and strategies to build their business. They're invested. So I can tell you, me personally, I have found in all of the media that I earn, because I'm a big believer in practicing what you preach, I think whatever service you're selling, you better be treating yourself like a client and be good at it. So I'm still on TV. I'm writing articles and online outlets. I'm a guest on podcasts. I do the whole thing. And I can honestly tell you where I see the quickest ROI from publicity to profit is being a guest on podcasts. And I think that goes to speak to the podcast audience and where their heads are at and how they're more likely to invest in their business. And I say the same thing to authors. I tell authors all the time, you need to be getting on NPR. Because people who listen to NPR radio, they like to learn. People who like to learn like to read books and they buy nonfiction books. So you just kind of have to think like that. And I think the good news here is that most people are their own avatar. You know, so like I work with business owners and then I also like to consume business content. So that's the good news. Like, look around at where you're consuming your content. Maybe you'd be good on those platforms, because I think 8-9 times out of 10, you are your own avatar, which is good. So you don't have to do tons of research. You're already living it every day when you consume content.
So you know your ideal client really well. I like it. All right. Yeah, I like what you said there earlier about treating yourself as a client and be really good at it, because that kind of, that has you living that, dealing with the ideal client and making sure that, you know, they're getting their needs met.
Yeah. And that's how I grew. That's how I grew my business from the beginning. It's how I still grow my business, is I was practicing what I preached. Let me tell you, it makes the sales process a whole lot easier when you practice what you preach, because people will send me messages on LinkedIn and they'll say, oh, hey, how'd you get in this magazine? Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that's what I do. Yeah, you know, right. And then you explain what you do and they're like, oh yeah, I want that. Mm. So I think when you practice what you preach, especially if you're in the marketing industry and then people reach out to you, they find you by what you do. So you've already kind of shown them a case study by accident. So I think it's really important to practice what you preach. I mean, I'm sure everybody does, like on LinkedIn, you get all of these messages about, oh, are you looking for a good SEO agency? And then on yeah. Instagram, it's people in your DM saying, I can help you build your Instagram. And then I go back and I look at theirs and I'm like, you have 2 followers. And then you have, like, why in the world would I hire you to build my Instagram? Like, maybe if your Instagram was actually good and impressive, I would think about it. So I think it's really important to be practicing what you preach, because remember, we all have access to Google today. We are all going to be Googling to make sure that you are doing what you should be doing and that you are legit, because I think today more than ever, we have all of the fakers online, right? Declaring they are experts in their industry, and they are just not. So you definitely want to stand out by practicing what you preach and building your personal brand that way, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, those examples you gave, I mean, I get, like everybody, I guess, tons of emails offering to do all kinds of things. And half the time they haven't even bothered to research me, because and the best story of this, the one that is my favorite story around this, is Google apparently gets hundreds of emails every day along the lines of, dear Google, we found, we saw your website, we think it's great, but we notice you don't rank in the major search engines. And I think, oh, okay.
And a lot of times they say this stuff and it makes no sense and it's totally inaccurate.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, where do you rank? How are you doing yourself? I just had somebody on LinkedIn. It was literally right before we got on to record this podcast. They sent me a message about how it looks like, or they can tell, that I am in need of air conditioning. And I'm like, do you know that because I live in Florida? Or like, what is happening here? Is the weirdest sales message straight to my inbox in LinkedIn. And that's just not the way to do it, people. That's why I preach the earned media route, because it just means so much more than that.
Mm. Yeah. So what makes a good media release then? So we talked a little bit about the audience and serving the audience, and then getting to, you know, starting off with the niche media and having a long-term view of getting onto the big media. What makes a good media release that captures attention and is likely to have the media take interest in you?
That's a great question, because a lot of people, they automatically go to press releases, or like you said, media releases. And again, that's something that worked years ago, before we lived in this media landscape that we do now. And now I can tell you, journalists are overworked and underpaid. They have hundreds, if not thousands, of emails in their inbox. The CNN example I gave you earlier, I know those producers, they get up to 40,000 emails a day. So if you think writing a press release and sending it to somebody's inbox is going to get you coverage, you are mistaken. That worked in the 70s. And if you watch documentaries from the 70s that talk about how they were getting the word out about anything, they would tell you, they would send out a press release. it does not work today. So honestly, it's short, sweet pitches. You can write something that's five sentences long. All you need to do is say, hey, this is what's going on. This is why your audience should care. And this is how you can reach me for more information. That's all you need to send. And the good news is this makes it super easy for you. You don't have to write a long, boring press release and send an attachment and put quotes in it and all that other crap that doesn't work anymore. You just need to tell them why they should care and how they can get a hold of you for more information. That's it. Mm. And that's really what's going to work. And then I use the example of after I send a pitch like that through email, I'll find the person on Twitter. Journalists are on Twitter. That's like the hangout spot. That's the news platform when it comes to social media. So I'll get on Twitter and I'll shoot them a tweet and I'll say, hey, I just sent you an email with this pitch, because they will definitely see that mention on Twitter. They'll pay attention to that notification. But their email, I mean, you're one of hundreds, if not thousands, that day. And it's obviously always best to build a relationship with these people before you pitch them. You don't want to always be coming out of the blue. You want to have relationships. Obviously, relationships, just like in any business, help. They're not a must. Like if you don't know anybody in the media, don't even worry about it. You don't have to. If you have a good story, you have a good story. But today, people are so easy to find online. Whether it be LinkedIn or Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, it's so easy to find people online and start building a relationship with them. So there's really no excuse. And even if the journalist, say, you know, you're on Twitter and you're retweeting them, you're commenting, you're liking their stuff, even if they never respond to you, they still see that. They still get those notifications. So if you do show up in their inbox, you will stand out. So, my advice is to, before you pitch, start building relationships with people who write about your niche, who write about your industry, who are maybe local journalists in your area. And then when you do pitch them, hopefully you will be noticed because you've started to build that relationship on social media. But when you do pitch, keep it short, sweet, and to the point, because nobody has time for a long, boring press release. And you also just want to make it easy for them to do their job. I know whenever I pitch anything, I let them know I'm happy to write this for you. I'm happy to do whatever I need to do to hand you everything on a silver platter. Let me know what I can do on my end to increase chances of coverage, because they have a lot of work on them. So if you can make their job easy, they're more likely to say yes to you.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of great advice in that. And particularly the bit about building that relationship, because it comes down to, if you look at helping the media or helping the journalist do their job and making it easy for them to do their job, you've also obviously got to stand out and catch their attention. But it's kind of like any other marketing or any other business, unless they kind of get to know you and like you and like what you have to offer, you're unlikely to grab their attention.
And it's so competitive today that you have to approach it like that or it's not going to work. I can give you another example today of a local tourism agency. They sent me a press release, and I will never copy and paste and just post a press release on my blog. I'll copy and paste it and then I'll put my own tweaks on it, right? Mm. Like I'll change some things up, put it in my words, all of that. But what they sent to me, it was 8 pages because it's like an event that happens for a full month and there's lots of different locations and specials and dates. So they sent it to me in 8 separate pages and they were all PDFs, like they were all screen grabs. And I replied to them and I said, I need to be able to copy and paste this whole thing and then make my tweaks from there. I cannot retype 8 pages worth of information if you want coverage. And she responded to me and she said, oh, I understand. Here's the PDF in one page instead of 8 separate pages. And I'm sorry, but we send them in PDFs. We don't send them in Word docs. And I said, okay, well, I'm not going to give you coverage, because if you expect me to copy and paste, or if you expect me to rewrite 8 pages worth of stuff and then put my own spin on it, you are mistaken. That is not happening. So because she did not make it easy for me to give her coverage, she's not getting coverage.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I told her how to make it easy and she still couldn't. That's the crazy part.
Yeah. That's well, sometimes people get in their own way. And I'm guessing that at some point she would have produced that material in a Word document or similar format that was easy to cut and paste from.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing too, is people are, they are in their own way. They're thinking of things one-sided. She's thinking, oh, well, whatever, I gave you the information. But why would I mean, I'm not getting paid to promote your brand on my blog. I would do this because it would be good content for my blog, but to sit and type 8 pages worth of content, like, you're out of your mind if you think I'm that nice to do that to promote your brand. So when I say hand them everything on a silver platter, make their job easy for them, I'm saying, don't do that, what I just told you about. Don't repeat that example.
Yeah. Yeah. Great advice. So one of the things that I know you talk about in your podcast, I think it might have been very early on in one of your episodes, about what I call repurposing. So basically, once you've got PR somewhere, how do you really leverage that? How do you get the maximum benefit from that exposure?
Oh, yes. I call this doing PR on your PR. And this is where a lot of people leave money on the table, because people, again, I mean, it's great that we have the perception of the media that we do, like, oh, we're out there. We were just in Forbes. We were just in Inc. Now everybody's going to see it and it's going to be amazing. It's great that you have that perception. But let me tell you, where you're going to see the money is from you telling everybody about that coverage. So for example, after I write an article in Inc. magazine, I don't just call it a day and assume, oh, it's an Inc. magazine. That's a huge outlet. Everybody's going to see it. Mm. What I do is I take that link, I share it on my Twitter, my LinkedIn, my Facebook, my Instagram story. I tell my email list about it. And then I make sure it's in my social media queue. So every 2 to 3 months, you will see on Twitter, on LinkedIn, and on Facebook that I am sharing that same link to that same story and I'm telling you to read it again. And I do this for a couple of reasons. One, if you just met me today on this podcast, you don't know about all the coverage that I've earned myself in the last 5 years. So I want to make sure if you start following me today, you're going to see that article that I wrote 2 years ago. That's one reason. The other reason is I want you to keep seeing that I am in the media. Because if you saw it 2 months ago, you have seen tens of thousands of things since then and you have forgotten. So I am going to remind you. And that's if you saw it 2 months ago. Because remember, social media is a constant moving feed. Hmm. You do not see most of what people post. So that's also why I post multiple times. And people will reach out to me and they will tell me, not that they found me in Inc. magazine, but they found me somewhere. And then they started following me on social media. And then they kept seeing these posts that I was sharing on social media. So that's how the publicity turns into profit. And that is what a lot of people miss. And they'll get this publicity and then they'll wait a week and they'll say, oh, well, nothing happened. It doesn't work. And I will say, well, what did you do with it? Oh, nothing. I mean, we got coverage here, but it didn't turn into anything. I'm like, well, did you tell anybody? Well, no, we don't have to. It was in the media. No. You need to tell everybody over and over and over again. And then when you're telling them, you need to be tagging the person who wrote the article or tagging the host of the TV show. You need to be tagging the outlet, because when they see that you're sharing their content, they're going to want to come back to you and say, hey, thank you so much for sharing our article with everybody. We would love to have you back, or we would love to interview you again, because it means a lot to them that you're sharing their content. I mean, just like when this podcast goes live, I'm going to be sharing it on social media. I'm going to put it on my website. I'm going to be tagging you. So you see, oh, great, Christina's sharing my podcast episode. And then when you see it, you're going to tap that button that says share, and then it's going to go out again to your audience. So it's just a matter of really doing PR on your PR. And unfortunately, This is the part everybody skips, and it's the part that will bring you the most money.
Yeah. There's so much wonderful advice there. And I mean, just for all the podcasters listening in, we actually do that from our side with our podcast interviews. So once this podcast's published, we'll be sending out regular social media postings. We'll be tagging Christina, and we'll make sure that people see that. Because as you say, the social media, it's such a transient thing. And I don't know what the statistics are in terms of how much I actually see of the people I'm following, but I imagine it's a very small number.
Right. And then you look at the life of a tweet. Like I think 2 years ago, a tweet lasted 20 minutes. It probably lasts 20 seconds today.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, as I say, that there are a lot of important messages in that, and really to make it easy to for the press person that you've got the relationship with then to share it as well is quite important. So one of the things in that regard is what do you need to have in place to, like, sending, let's say you get attention from somebody in the media and they say, look, we'd like to have you on the show, or we'd like to write an article about you. What else do you need to have in place to really get maximum benefit from that?
Well, I think it depends on the outlet. So if we're talking about TV, you obviously need something visual. That's why Leah with her snow globes worked so well on the project, because it was TV. It was very visual. Her brand is a visual brand. And then if it's magazine, you're going to want to have high resolution images. If it's a podcast, images don't matter, but you got to sound good. So you have to have a good microphone. So you just have to think of the outlet, because if the publicity isn't good, then it's either not going to get published at all, or it's going to work against you and have a negative effect. You know, like if this podcast audio was bad, or if I got on this interview and all I wanted to do was name drop everything that would promote myself, you wouldn't publish it, because that wouldn't be beneficial to your audience, and the audio would sound bad too. So you just want to make sure that you're doing your best to deliver good publicity, so it's actually used and it shows you in a positive light. And then as far as repurposing or doing PR on your PR, where are your audience? Where are they? Are they on LinkedIn? If you're B2B and you work with more C-suite people like I do in my PR agency, they're on LinkedIn. But I also have an audience on Instagram, because I also help solopreneurs with PR. I teach them how to be their own publicist if they can't afford an agency. And those people are more on Instagram. So my Instagram content is a little different than my LinkedIn content, because I'm dealing with two different kinds of business owners with two completely different kinds of mindsets. So even though I'm promoting the same thing, I am using different wording and different messaging. Like on Instagram, I'm talking about being a mom who works from home a lot more than I am on LinkedIn. On LinkedIn, it's more like, these are the results my clients are getting. This is how it affects their bottom line, because that's what the C-suite executives care about. The solopreneurs on Instagram, they're scared to invest $500 into their business because there's no guarantee they're going to get it back. So you got to talk to them differently. So that's just something to keep in mind when you are doing PR on your PR. And even before that, even when you're pitching story ideas and you're reaching out to the media, like, what does your audience want to hear? What resonates with them? And, you know, back to the beginning of our conversation, where are they?
Yeah.
So you just want to make sure that you are in the right places and you're building your brand in the right places, because that's another thing, you know, like if you're pitching yourself to a podcast and the podcast host Googles you, or they go to your LinkedIn or your Instagram, what are they going to see? Are they going to see something that backs up that pitch? Or are they going to see something totally different? So again, that's the joy of owned media. You control what you post. You control what you put up there. So make sure you're building your brand on your own platforms, because when you go to pitch the media, they're going to do some background checking and they're going to make sure that you are who you say you are and you're an expert. So you want to make sure you have a good foundation. So when people are looking for you, A, they can find you, and B, when they do find you, you look legit.
Yeah. Yeah. There's, again, there's so much great advice there that I think is applicable not just to media and PR, but right across the board to business and marketing. Beginning with knowing who your audience is, and it might be a different audience for different services that you have. Like you mentioned, you know, the agency clients are different to the people who you teach to do their own PR, and then they hang out in different social media channels, and, you know, physically they might be in different places as well if you're having a physical meetings or interactions with them. So, you know, so much great advice there that I think is applicable right across the board.
And a lot of these times you don't really realize this until you're in it. Like I didn't even think about it, honestly, until I was like, why is it so hard for me to sell a $1,000 product, but I can sell this $5,000 product easily? And it was because I was dealing with two different entrepreneurs with two completely different mindsets. And for years, I was marketing the same way to completely different people. And that was, you know, almost like a year and a half ago, the light bulb went off. And I was like, okay, my messaging is totally wrong on Instagram. I'm talking on Instagram like I'm talking to these people who are running million-dollar businesses, and they're not. So that was when I was like, okay, so on Instagram, the content's going to be a little bit different than it is on LinkedIn. I mean, really, the messaging is the same. The end goal is always the same, but the way I say it and the way I approach it is different. And the same goes for pitching the media. I would write something in ink very differently than I would write it for Boss Babe, something that, you know, a working mom is reading versus something that somebody in the C-suite is reading. And we, even though you have your avatar, they're not all exactly the same person. You know, like you said, they could live in different places. One could be at the beginning of their career. One could be more established. So you, and that's good for finding different angles to pitch at different times, right? Like we talked about timeliness and why does the audience care about this right now? You can go back and forth to, you know, an avatar who's a mom versus an avatar who is who's a dad versus an avatar who maybe is single with no kids and they have more time to devote to their business. So it's really just keeping a lot of those things in mind and then focusing on, you know, certain things at certain times. And that's how Amy Porterfield got her segment on CNN. So when I pitched it, it was in May. And we pitched high schoolers graduating, getting ready to go to college. I thought that's very timely. That's what's happening right now in May. Instead of going to college, maybe take an online course. That's her specialty, right?
Yeah.
And they said, well, we actually have a time opening up the Friday before Mother's Day. So could she talk about how moms could make extra money by creating an online course? And I was like, perfect. She can do that too. So again, still in her expertise, just a different angle. Instead of talking to moms about their kids going to college, we're talking to moms about how they can make money from home with an online course. So you just have to be flexible with your different avatars and the different angles that you can play with.
Yeah. I love that because it's, you know, you spoke about knowing who your ideal audience is, who the avatar is and what they're looking for. But that example is kind of, you know, you could have come up with that by digging deeper into, you know, what do they need? And if you think of, okay, you've got the college kids who, you know, they're wondering, should they go to college or, you know, are there other options? But there's also the parents who might be sending their kids to college or might be, how do I support my kids now on this next stage of their life? And what financial pressures are going to be on me there? So then, of course, being able to see an opportunity where you could go out and run an online course is obviously something that would be of interest.
Yeah. And two totally different angles, but same end goal, all about making money with online courses.
Yeah. So it's thinking beyond what it is you actually do or bring, but thinking about who's the client, how best can you serve them?
Exactly. Like they wanted to have something that was fit for Mother's Day for moms the Friday before Mother's Day. And I said, perfect, we'll tweak, we'll find a new angle. And I told Amy, I said, think of a client of yours, a mom who did something to make money from home with an online course. And she gave the example on air of a woman who was growing her own vegetables and canning her own vegetables. And she created an online course about how you can do it too. And she ended up quitting her job because she was making so much money with her online course on that topic. So it's really just, and again, that's why I preach, stop trying to promote yourself. The media, they know what they're doing. Like, just work with them. And we worked with them. And literally, we pitched that story on a Thursday, the college story on a Thursday. She was on Friday afternoon with the moms and the online course angle the next day, not even 24 hours later.
Wow. That's a quick turnaround. All right. Well, this is absolutely fascinating, Christina. I could go on talking all day about learning more about PR, but also, you know, the so many good lessons there in terms of business in general and marketing, and, you know, making it not about you but about your clients, and delivering the messages in the way that they will listen and will receive them, and also in the places that they're likely to be found. But I think it's a good time to move on to the buzz, which is our innovation round, and it's primarily directed at our listeners who are innovators and leaders in their field with some tips from your experience. So I've got five questions in the buzz round, and hopefully we'll get some really insightful answers in, together with all the insights you've provided so far, that'll go and inspire people to do something awesome today.
Okay, no pressure. Jeez, what a lead-in. So,
what do you think is the number one thing anyone needs to do to be more innovative?
I think you need to, and it kind of overlaps with what I do, you need to tell everybody what you do. And I know that doesn't sound very innovative, but so many people are afraid of what other people think. They're afraid of failing. They're afraid of people seeing them fail, that they want to be kept a secret. And people can't do business with you if they don't know about you. So you need to take your feelings out of it and look at the facts. People can't do business if they don't know about you. So tell everybody what you do and brand yourself that way. I know it doesn't sound innovative, but it is something that people struggle to do. You know, and you hear this with video a lot, right? Like, people don't want to do video. They're afraid to do video and put themselves out there. No, you have to do video. The statistics show that's what people want. That's what people are watching. So you need to do it.
Yeah, that's great advice. I often hear, I don't have a face for video, or I don't like being photographed or so on. I say, well, it's not about you.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. What's the best thing you've done to develop new ideas and products?
Honestly, I'm not just saying this because I'm here with you, but I am a big podcast listener. You can learn so much from podcasts, not just the hosts, but the guests. And then I'm a big reader. I like my business books, and something that I just started doing recently is I look at it and I read it while I listen to it on Audible. So I'm hearing it and I'm reading it at the same time. And then to go a little faster, I speed up the I speed up the time on Audible, so it's like super fast. But when you read it, you can register it quicker, so you can read through more if you do it like that.
I do that quite a lot, actually. I read.
Do you?
I listen to audio when I'm commuting or walking, and I do. I speed it up to 2 or 2.5 times sometimes, but I do quite often. Particularly, what I'll do is, if I'm really excited by the book, or if, you know, there's some great lessons in there, I'll then buy it and then sit down and read it while listening to it as well.
Two and a half. That is fast.
Sometimes
that's crazy fast.
You have to work your way up to that. But it's funny sometimes, because when I then stop listening and meet somebody immediately after I've shut off the listening and have a conversation, I'm thinking everything moves so slow.
I don't even know if I could do 2 or 2.5 while I'm looking at the book. That's insanely fast. Yeah, I have noticed
when I'm reading, when I'm reading the book, I slow it down to about 1.6 to 1.8, depending on who the narrator is, you know, how fast they're talking.
That's true. And the narrator makes a big difference. I have noticed that. I like, if it's not the author narrating it, I'm not a big fan. I want to hear the author do it. I don't want, you know, a paid voice actor.
Although I did I just can't remember the book off the top of my head now, but it was who narrated it? Jeremy Irons narrated it, and he's just got such a wonderful voice.
Oh, well, then he's allowed.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So do you have a favorite resource that you use most often?
I can tell you what I use a lot. I don't know. Again, I don't know how innovative this is for your listeners. Might sound kind of boring, but I use my Google Calendar like religiously. If it is not in the Google Calendar, it is not getting done. So I love Google Calendar. And then when it comes to scheduling social media, I like SmarterQue because I told you how I like to promote something once and then again and then again. And SmarterQue makes it super easy to just like put in the queue, set it and forget it, and it will republish as needed. So that has saved me a lot of time. So I would say SmarterQue and my Google Calendar.
Mm. Yeah, I have looked at SmarterQue, but I haven't actually used it. We use some other tools like Buffer and Missing Letter. But yeah, it's one to look at.
There's so many today.
Yeah. But the important thing, and I always tell people when you use these tools, then go back in and work on the relationship part, because the time they free up in posting, you should be investing back in engaging with people on the social media then.
Exactly. And the tool makes it easy for you to do that because like I say, scheduling stuff, that's like plan B.
Yeah.
So you always have plan B running in the background, and then plan A is actually like being social and being a real person and doing things in real time.
Yeah.
So the plan B is perfect because it's always there and always working, which frees you up for the plan A.
Mm. All right. What's the best way to keep a client on track?
A few ways. What we do in the agency is every Friday we are in communication. So in my industry, these things take time, right? Like you're consistently putting feelers out there, and you know, you could do something today and not see the results for another 3 months. So to keep a client on track, we are in constant communication, very transparent, very open and honest. We don't hide a lot, like a lot of people do with their clients. Maybe we're a little too open and honest sometimes. But every Friday, they hear from us in a weekly roundup, a weekly email. We don't waste our time with meetings or phone calls or conference calls. We want to spend all of our time on execution. And I think if anybody's come from corporate America and they've probably had a meeting about a meeting about a meeting, and it's just such a waste of time. So I would say, yes, communication is good, but again, like your pitches should be short, sweet, and to the point, and spend most of your time on execution, not the silly admin stuff.
Mm. Yeah, it's great advice. And I hear you about the meetings in corporate, and it's not just America, I can assure you.
And they're always a waste of time.
Yeah. All right. What's the number one thing anyone can do to differentiate themselves?
I think it's when you bring, you need to be branding yourself, because if you're not, then nobody knows who you are. So you can't differentiate, you know, somebody you don't know. So one is branding yourself. And then I think using your personal experience. I know a lot of people get hung up on their professional experience and they want to talk about their professional experience and their awards and their accolades. But I think your personal experience goes a lot further, because anybody can have the same professional experience as you, but personally, you're the only one with that experience, and that's what makes you different. I tell people all the time, I have a PR agency and we're successful, but I don't have a PR background. My background is working in the media industry, being on the other side of all this PR stuff. And for me, I think that's what makes me better than most people in PR, because there's lots of people in PR who have never worked in the media industry. Like, why would you hire somebody to get you in the media if they've never even worked in the media?
Mm.
So I use my media experience to differentiate myself. South Florida is pretty big. We got Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and West Palm Beach. And I don't know any other PR agency owner who is a regular on TV, who's writing for news outlets, and who hosts a podcast, who's a guest on podcasts. So something I use to differentiate myself is my media experience. And that again goes to treating yourself as a client. Like, be the best at what you do and share it through your personal experience. Be a human, be more relatable, and that's what's going to differentiate yourself. And it may sound cliche, like, oh, there's only one you, nobody else can be you. But I think if you maybe tone down your professional accolades and turn up your personal experience, you may resonate with a little bit more people because they're getting to know you, like you and trust you.
Yeah.
And people just resonate with that personal human side more than the professional business side.
Mm. That's really great advice. And yeah, a lot of my guests come back and say, you know, be yourself or that version, some version of that, advice. And whilst, as you say, it can come across as sounding cliche, it really, when people get it and when they're self-aware enough to say, well, you know, these are the things that do make me unique and that could be of value. Again, it's knowing your ideal audience that could be of value to that ideal audience or could help me connect with that ideal audience, then it all clicks into place.
And that, it kind of goes back to the first question you asked me about being more innovative, which is not caring what people think.
Yeah.
Because when you are being yourself and you're branding yourself and you are being more personal than professional, you are going to have to accept the fact that people are not going to like you. There's people who hate Oprah Winfrey. There's people who hate Gary Vaynerchuk. They're still pretty darn successful. Mm. There's people who hate the Kardashians. They're doing okay. I think when people hate you and you start to have haters online, that's a sign that you're actually on the road to success.
Yeah.
Because you will never be successful pleasing everybody. It's just impossible. So when you can get over that hurdle of what people are going to think, it makes it so much easier to just be yourself. Like, I know I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I am very, I don't want to say rough around the edges because that doesn't sound nice, but I'm very blunt. I guess you could say I do tough love. I don't sugarcoat things. I think maybe it's just because I'm impatient. Like, I don't want to beat around the bush. Let's just say what it is and get it over with. And some people don't like that. Some people, they need the sugarcoating. They need more love. That's fine. You're just not for me. Mm. You're for somebody else. And when you can accept that, it makes it a whole lot more easier to grow your brand. Because you do have that, I'm just being me. If I'm not for you, cool, move on to the next. Because
yeah.
You are going to be for a lot of people too.
That's right.
You know?
And those people who you are for, they're your ideal client, or they're likely to be more your ideal client. And the people that you're trying to please by not being yourself, and you know, if you are yourself, they don't like you, they're going to be hard work to work with because you can't keep up that facade all the time. It's going to drain your energy.
Exactly. And you will grow a thick skin. I mean, I know for some people it's hard at first. I think luckily for me, working in the media industry, I learned that quickly. You yeah. have to grow a thick skin. So, you know, it's a heartless, cutthroat industry. And then just the people you run into out when you're doing stories and, you know, they'll give you a piece of their mind if they don't like you.
Mm.
So luckily I had a bit of a thick skin before I got into the business as a business owner. But it'll come. And the sooner you accept it, the sooner you can grow and get further faster.
Hmm. Wonderful advice. Well, thanks, Christina. This has been absolutely fantastic today. I've learned so much there about PR and media, but, you know, seen so many parallels around business in general that, you know, you've presented it in such a way that I hopefully all my listeners will understand this really well. So where can people reach out to learn more about what you do and learn more about you and even say thank you for what you've shared with us today?
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me and thanks for asking. Well, you mentioned my podcast. So I have a podcast. It's called Become a Media Maven. And it's mostly about business and building a business and marketing. So that's, you know, everywhere podcasts are, it's Become a Media Maven. And then you can reach out on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. It's at Christina All Day. You can find me. And if you want to learn how to pitch the media to get publicity and turn it into profit, just me kind of building on what we've discussed today, you can access a free 3-day media class at pitchpublicityprofit.com.
Great. Thanks for that. I'll put all of those in the show notes so people can click straight through and find those resources. There's and certainly the podcast is very interesting, the episodes that I've listened to, and so I encourage people to check that out and see whether there's something in that for you. And also the 3-day media course sounds fabulous.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. It was nice chatting with you.
Okay, a couple of more questions. What's the number one piece of advice you'd give to any business owner who wants to be a leader in innovation and in their field?
I'm going to give you a different answer than what I already gave you. Don't be afraid to invest in your business. It drives me crazy when people are like, oh, I don't know if I want to spend $1,000. Like, you're probably spending hundreds of thousands paying back your college loans that got you nowhere. So don't be afraid to invest in your business, whether that be through online courses or business coaches or masterminds. I know new business owners are so afraid to spend a dime to build their business, but listen, you can only get the free content online. That's only going to take you so far. You're going to need some one-on-one help. So I would say, don't be afraid to invest in your business.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And invest in yourself also, to, because a lot of the examples you mentioned really are about learning something that, you know, may take you a lot further. And I know I can't remember the last time I used something that I learned at school or in my university days.
And it costs a lot more. It costs a lot more exactly. And took a lot more time to learn that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Finally, then, who would you like me to interview on a future InnovaBuzz podcast and why?
Oh, that's a good one. I can tell you some of my favorite people who I've talked to who are great. Pat Flynn from the Smart Passive Income podcast. Mm-hmm. He's the first podcast that I listened to. He is a mentor of mine. I'm in one of his masterminds. And he's just, not only is he just really good at what he does, but he's actually like really nice. Like, there's a lot of people, especially in online business, who I think they pretend to be nice, but you know they're not nice. You know what I mean? And he's one of those people who is just really nice and actually cares. So he's great. That's actually, I met Monica Louie in his mastermind.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Azul Terones, he is also in the mastermind with us. He helps people write and publish books, and he can walk you through writing a book in 30 days. And he's great. He did a great TEDx talk. It's gotten well over 1 million views on what makes a good teacher great. And just the way he works with people, like his style, it's very, it's like the opposite of mine. you know, like I'm tough love, just say it how it is. Azul is very, very caring and very much, I've just seen him, you know, work in these masterminds, the way he talks to you and gets information out of you. Like, you know, you hear people talking about peeling back the layers of an onion. Azul is very good at that. And you'll go to him with an idea for a book, and then you will leave with a whole other book. And it's so much better because of what he was able to pull from you.
Yeah. Oh, sounds fascinating. So
yeah,
we might get an introduction from you to Pat and to Azul. Certainly, I mean, Pat Flynn is, I mean, one of the leaders in the whole podcasting world with his Smart Passive Income podcast. So I'd love to talk to him. And Azul sounds fascinating as well. So I'll have to check out his TEDx talk.
I am happy to make an introduction and also email you a link to that. It's really good. It's called What Makes a Good Teacher Great. And it's fascinating. And it's it'll almost make you mad at like how, you know, especially here in the United States, how the education system is run and how it's so broken. But he, you know, uses that, again, talk about personal experience to build your brand. He uses that to build his brand and make himself more successful as well.
All right. Look forward to speaking to them. Now, thanks so much for sharing your time and your insights with us so generously today. I mean, as I said, I've learned a lot about PR, but also, you know, got ideas here around general marketing and business, because there's so many parallels in what, you know, what advice you've given today to marketing and to business in general. So I've really enjoyed this immensely. I've learned a lot. Thanks for joining us today. I wish you all the best for the future, and let's keep in touch.
Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed that insightful, entertaining, and highly informative conversation with Christina and took something away from her episode. She shared some wonderful tips about PR that I think apply to all marketing and business in general. Begin by knowing your ideal client, focus on adding value, serving your audience, and in her case, firstly, that's the media, and then their audience, and build relationships. I'd love to know what you took away from Christina's episode. Leave a comment below the blog post, which you can find at innovabiz.co/Christina Nicholson. That is CHRISTINA NICHOLSON. All one word, all lowercase, innovabiz.co/Christina Nicholson. You'll also find contact information there for getting in touch with Christina, as well as links to the Media Maven website, her social media pages, the Become a Media Maven podcast, and Christina's free 3-day media class, as well as all the other resources we spoke about in our conversation. Christina suggested we interview Pat Flynn from the Smart Passive Income Show, and also Azul Terones, author and author coach, on a future InnovaBuzz podcast. Actually, on 2 future InnovaBuzz podcasts. So Pat and Azul, keep an eye on your inboxes for an invitation from us to the InnovaBuzz podcast, courtesy of Christina Nicholson. You can each have your own. Remember to check out our Marketing Master mini class at innovabiz.co/marketingmaster. It's completely free and accessible without even giving away your email. In less than 30 minutes, you'll gain real clarity about your ideal client and how you can communicate with them to build and strengthen an engaging and enduring relationship. And if you'd like our help to go even deeper into marketing mastery or help with producing your podcast, then send me an email to Jurgen, J-U-R-G-E-N, at innovabiz.co, and we'll set up a quick call to see if we're a good fit for one another. Tune in again next week to the InnovaBuzz podcast. We've got some more fantastic guests lined up, including LinkedIn marketing expert John Bellamy and Tony D'Irso of The Tony D'Irso Show. Stay connected with us by subscribing to the InnovaBuzz podcast at innovabuzz.com/subscribe. innovabuzz.com/subscribe. Make sure you never miss another episode. It would also mean a lot to me if you leave us a review, because what you think matters. I'd love to hear your thoughts, your ideas, your suggestions, or questions you have, so go ahead and share them in the comments below the blog post for this episode. Until next time, I'm Jurgen Strauss from InnovaBiz. Remember, be awesome and keep innovating.